Our chapel period today has been scheduled as a service of prayer for our upcoming student conference on missions and ministry, which is to be held this weekend on the campus here, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. This conference will be sponsored jointly by the Home Mission Board and the Foreign Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention and by our seminary. In a minute or two of the masterminds behind some of the planning are going to share with you something of the information about the activities of the conference and something of the philosophy behind the conference. But before Mr. Bob Clyde and Mr. Bill Stillman speak to us, let me share with you some of the following notices. Mr. Wayne Coley, who is chairman of the housing and responsible for housing the students who will be here this weekend, reports to me that at the present time, as of this morning, we have 243 who are registered to be in attendance at our conference. We only have, however, 112 beds for these 243 people. And so we would give to you an urgent plea for help, especially within the accommodations of men. We have slightly over 100 men registered and not many more than 20 beds available for these men at the present time. And so if you would speak to Mr. Coley or to us at the end of the service, promising us your help in this matter, we would be greatly appreciative. Let us hear now from Mr. Bob Clyde, who will tell us something about the people who will be here on our campus this weekend.
I'm going to change that a little bit and talk about the theme, On Becoming Human. A graduate student came to me the other day and said she really liked to come to the missions conference at Southeastern. She said she liked it very much because it was never about missions. Well, the thing I disagreed with her if she meant that it was not about mission, but I agreed with her that we were moving away from missions toward mission. We did this in our choosing of the theme. Mission means being and acting out love wherever you are. And our theme, On Becoming Human, deals with the dehumanization of an urban secular society. We find here, in trying to help people to become human, that we have an overlap of the Christian and the secular world. Both are interested in becoming human. Beasley Murray said that in the secular mind, if there is an interest in breaking away from alienation, finding life, and escaping guilt. We think that we are involved in that task in the Christian mission. So our theme, On Becoming Human, deals with the dehumanization in our society. Our three speakers, we think, work in well with our theme. Brother Frank is a member of the Tazay community. The Tazay community is a Protestant monastic group who live a secular life working in the world and coming together for a worship that leads outward. Brother Frank will be speaking on becoming human through worship. Walker L. Knight is editor of the Home Missions magazine. It is his interest to be involved with an urbanized society, to move towards social and moral action, and to see the local church acting in a ministry to all people. He will be talking about On Becoming Human through the press. George Weber, who is instrumental in founding the East Harlem Protestant Parish, and who is presently involved in the Metropolitan Urban Service Training, the MUST program in Union in New York. We'll be speaking on becoming human, the city. Charles Davis will conduct our worship service on Sunday morning and will be giving us a more theological look at the process of becoming human. Several things other than our main program personalities will be emphasized. On Friday night, the Shaw group will do a theme interpretation. On Saturday afternoon, there will be a Christian interpretation, a Christian celebration using many art mediums. On Saturday night, there will be a panel discussion discussing these three questions. What is the mission of the church? And does the message have anything to say about the medium? And how does the church communicate? I think it is interesting that in our special interest seminars this year, we are considering the parish ministry as mission and the ministry of the layman as mission. We hope to emphasize this, but for the sermon, it's up to you to carry this out.
Let us hear now the words of our Lord Jesus as they are found in John's Gospel, the 20th chapter, reading verses 11 through verse 21. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and she knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which means master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were, assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you.
As many of you are already aware, the seminary community has witnessed in the last 2 years a reorientation of the philosophy and purposes undergirding the Student Conference on Mission and Ministry. For the next couple of moments, I would like to offer you some understanding of why these changes took place and in what direction I hope the conference is now heading. The contemporary scene of which each of us is an active participant has witnessed in the last few years a violent upheaval of the old or the traditional way of life. I think Peter, Paul, and Mary are quite true when they sing, "The times they are a-changing." And these changes have forced some of us to reevaluate our role to a new cultural setting. Particularly have they forced us as ministers to take a new look at a culture that has been shattered by racial unrest, political turmoil, and a lack of communication. A culture that has too often in the past been dominated by hate. We as ministers are faced with the problem of trying to relocate the body of Christ in a community where the love which Jesus showed to his fellow man is fast becoming unknown. The need to interpret these problems to young people, and I use that term with some misgiving, and to demonstrate to them the role of the church as it relates to this society, was recognized by the Student Missions Committee last year. This recognition resulted, first of all, in a name change from the Student Missions Conference to the Student Conference on Mission and Ministry. I think this idea of mission, or this concept of mission, as Bob has said, has resulted in us accepting a new awareness or a reawakening of this idea of man's responding to God's initiative, wherever he may be. Every person in every situation has a ministry and has a mission to perform. But I think it should also be noted that this new emphasis or this reawakening of a concept of mission in no way diminishes the role of world missions. It merely acts as a push to make man wake up and take a look at his own personal mission. Thus, the philosophy undergirding our conference forces the church to be a community of believers which is actively participating in the community, a community of believers who is involved where the action is. No longer can we as Christians withdraw and isolate ourselves. We must encounter man as he lives and as he works and as he plays. Carlisle Marnie spoke in Chapel Hill not too long ago, and he said that in every area of man's existence, we are witnessing the adaptation of the achievements and progress of science to our way of life. But he pointed out that the church has failed to keep pace with secular society. I think that unless the church is willing to adapt the tools necessary for it to relate to this new setting, we're in for some real trouble. Lastly, I would like to say that we as students at Southeastern are in a somewhat unique situation. Unique in the sense that, unlike some of our sister institutions, we have the freedom to express ourselves and to be creative without outward restraint. For this, on the part of my committee, I express my gratitude and appreciation to the faculty and administration. But most of all, I appeal to you as students for your support. For without the united support of our student body, this conference cannot continue with the spirit of openness and understanding that is vital and necessary to its success.
Let us pray together. Let us pray silently concerning the following matters pertaining to the Conference on Mission and Ministry. Let us pray for all those who have responsibility and for those who will lead in the conference. Let us pray especially for Dr. George W. Weber. Let us pray for Brother Frank of the Brothers of Tezay. Let us pray for Mr. Walker L. Knight. Let us pray for Mr. Charles D. Davis. Let us pray for all those who will be coming to participate in the conference and for those who will listen. Let us pray especially for those students traveling from the Washington, D.C. area and from the Florida area. And let us pray for ourselves, that we ourselves in these days of crisis will come to a fuller understanding of the mission and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ for our own lives. Jesus said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." O God, forgive us if these words mean little to us, and if we are so much at home in the world that we do not recognize ourselves as lost. We are not daring sinners or rebel souls, yet sometimes these words have a strange power to disturb us. Perhaps, after all, we are lost in our very safety, lost in our comfort, lost in our detachment, lost in our pride of not being lost. If we have arrived at a state where the Son of Man cannot reach us, if his humanity no longer quickens and excites us, are we not lost? If his cross no longer moves us nor casts its healing shadow over our lives, are we not lost? If we cannot hide even from thee, O disturbing God, within our securities of home, success, and conformity, are we not lost? Help us then to examine anew our availability to thee. Forgive us, O God, if we shelter from thee behind our smooth adjustment to the world. Forgive us if we are lost to thee behind our religious orthodoxies and our ecclesiastical commitments. Forgive us if we are insulated from thee within the walls of our satisfying domestic life. Forgive us if we are no longer willing to be sought and found by thy searching love. Spare us, O Lord, from discovering our lostness through tragedy and frustration. Send forth thy Spirit now and rescue us from our detachment. Recall us to fellowship with thee, that through thee we might discover the joy of belonging to each other. Suffer us not to drift into isolation like sheep, nor slip out of thy hand like the coin, nor cut ourselves off from the family like the sun. And help us in turn to care for the lost, to win men from selfish detachment for the joy of fellowship, to arouse in others the desire to belong to the larger family of mankind, and to relate their small concerns to the kingdom of thy Son. Create in thy church a share of thy seeking and saving love, that we may look beyond our own walls and witness, beyond our own small circle, becoming indeed a missionary church. Help us to detect all that is lost and aimless in our civic and community life, all that, well begun, has lost its purpose and drive, and give us the humility to work within the body politic to recover its ideals, to strengthen its purpose, and so to claim its life for thee. We ask it for the sake of Jesus Christ.